جزء 25. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I begin in the name of Allah, compassionate to all, merciful to each. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the 25th episode in this podcast series titled Journeying Our Eyes Through the Quran, Exploring 30 Juz in 30 Days. Today, inshallah, we will continue our journey through the pages of the Quran, albeit in a slightly different way. Over the past 24 episodes, we have explored tidbits from each juz, and we have now arrived at the end of this magnificent month. And our journey with this holy and magnificent book is also coming to a close, hopefully not permanently, but at least with this podcast series. While the fasts of the days are getting longer, the chapters of the Quran are getting shorter and more numerous. For the last few podcast episodes, starting with today, we're going to change gears slightly by hitting on certain themes that we haven't had the chance to yet explore. These themes, however, play a huge role in the overall message of the entire Quran. And in order to address these themes, we're going to combine a few juz together and go through relevant themes together. Today, we'll combine verses from juz 25, 26, and 27 to primarily discuss the reality of death, what it is, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about it in the magnificent Quran. Together, these three juz contain 13 Meccan surahs and 5 Madani surahs, which means that they focus both on akhlaqi and aqaid related issues on the one hand, and legislative issues on the other. In a previous episode, we mentioned how the Quran speaks from the perspective of reality itself, and as such, it's very intimately tied to seeing the hereafter and this world for what it truly is. The way that it speaks about death is very different from our socio-cultural context and how our context speaks about death. And what we'll try to do in today's episode is identify some of these differences. To start our discussion, let's start with the very famous verse from Surah Al-Mulk, where we read the following.
الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ.
He who created death and life to test you as to which of you is better in conduct. He is the Almighty, the Forgiving. One of the first things that commentators mention when offering interpretations of this verse is that, interestingly, it says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created death. What this means is that death is not the absence of something, but rather it's an actual creation that has a type of existence to it. It's not the absence of something, but something itself. When we try to define something like darkness, darkness is the absence of light. It's defined by negation. In and of itself, darkness doesn't have any reality or any substance, so its definition is something of negation, and it's the absence of something. We usually think of death in this flawed way within our socio-cultural context. When we're asked to define death, death is perceived as the absence of life, or the end of life. It's nothing. It's darkness. However, this is an incorrect understanding of death, according to the Quranic worldview of what death actually is. And here the verse makes this point clear, that death is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same way that the life of this world is. It's something, it's not the absence of something. So what does that mean? Commentators mention that death can be defined as a transition from this world to the next. And in a beautiful hadith narrated by Imam Sajjad alayhi salam from Imam Hussein alayhi salam on the day of Ashura, as he encourages his companions to fight, it's said that Imam Hussein alayhi salam tells his companions, "Death is but a bridge that will take you from hardship and tribulation to vast gardens and eternal blessings. Which of you is it that wouldn't like to be transferred from a prison to a palace?" Here, what Imam Hussein alayhi salam is saying is that death is a transition, it's a bridge. And this is the truth of the matter, that intrinsically, death is not tragic, as Imam Hussein alayhi salam also says in this hadith. Depending on your state, if you're a believer, you're actually going to somewhere like a palace. Other verses of the Quran also mention death in both a positive and a negative way. Death is not evil, death is not sad. But death and the experiences that come with it are only reflections of the reality of our own souls. In this way, death is a sort of mirror. What we see in the reflection of the mirror depends on us, it depends on our face, it depends on our characteristics. Death is like the mirror of the soul. The reflection is only negative insofar as much as our soul is negative and evil and corrupted. It depends on what we've done and with what intentions. Death is positive as much as our souls are beautiful and pure and purified. Let's take a look at some of the other verses in this section of the Quran that mention what death is like, beginning with Surah Qaf in verses 19 to 22.
وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيدُ وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ ذَلِكَ يَوْمُ الْوَعِيدِ وَجَاءَتْ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَعَهَا سَائِقٌ وَشَهِيدٌ لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِنْ هَذَا فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ.
The throes of death bring the truth. This is what you used to shun. And the trumpet will be blown. This is the promised day. Every soul will come accompanied by two angels, a driver and a witness. He will be told, "You were certainly oblivious of this. We have removed your veil from you, and so today your eyesight is acute." Or in Surah Fussilat, verse 53, where it says the following,
سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِ بِرَبِّكَ أَنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٌ أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ فِي مِرْيَةٍ مِّن لِقَاءِ رَبِّهِمْ أَلَا إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُحِيطٌ.
We will show them our signs in the horizons and within themselves until it becomes clear to them that it is the truth. But is it not sufficient concerning your Lord that He is over all things a witness? Unquestionably, they are in doubt about meeting with their Lord. Unquestionably, He is of all things encompassing. What's notable and interesting about these verses is that it mentions death as an unveiling of reality. In some verses, it says things like حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ, and this means that until certainty comes to you, or like it says in this verse, حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. And often in the commentaries, especially when it comes to phrases like the former, حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ, this is interpreted as meaning that, you know, do this until death comes to you, until certainty comes to you. So the certainty in this verse is interpreted as death itself. Now, why is this the case? The commentaries mention that when we die, we are able to see what truth really is, and we have a level of certainty about it. It's with death that we come to understand the reality of our actions, the reality of Haqq as much as is possible, and more. This is what the very famous hadith, mutu qabla an tamutu, or die before you die, means. It's essentially saying that before you physically die and leave this world, you should try to see reality and understand reality for what it truly is. Because death is a transition from this world. And when we die, we also lift the veils. And after we die, we can see reality for what it truly is. And that's why we'll regret whatever it is that we may have done that blocked us from spiritually progressing before. But death shows us reality, and this is what the verses say, that death brings certainty with it. This concept of the lower world, or the world that we're currently in, being a form of deception, where we're not truly seeing reality or haqq, can also be noted in the following verse, which includes a parable from Surah Al-Hadid in verse 20.
اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يكون حطاما وفي الآخرة عذاب شديد ومغفرة من الله ورضوان
وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور.
Know that the life of this world is but amusement and diversion and adornment and boasting to one another and competition in increase of wealth and children, like the example of a rain whose resulting plant growth pleases the tillers. Then it dries and you see it turned yellow. Then it becomes scattered debris. And in the hereafter is severe punishment and forgiveness from Allah and approval. And what is the worldly life except the enjoyments of delusion? What this verse discusses is the deception of the world that we're in. There are times when there is rain and there's vegetation, and the vegetation might impress the person who's looking at it like a farmer. But soon, vegetation turns yellow and fades and rots. And this is the example of the world and what we see around us. There is a beauty in it. There is a pleasure in it. There is glitter or zenith, as this verse mentions. But these things are temporary. They fade. And they're nothing compared to the everlasting nature of the hereafter and the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His pleasure. The verse ends with a famous phrase, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ, that this lower life is nothing but the wares of deception. It's not a true version of reality. In Surah An-Najm, in verses 39 to 42, we read the following.
وَأَن لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى ثُمَّ يُجْزَاهُ الْجَزَاءَ الْأَوْفَى وَأَنَّ إِلَى رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَى.
That nothing belongs to man except what he strives for, and that he will soon be shown his endeavor. Then he will be rewarded for it with the fullest reward, that the terminus is towards your Lord. There are a few beautiful points that can be observed from these verses, from Surah An-Najm, and the first one is, وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى, which means that indeed you will see your efforts will be shown to you. And what this means is that the hereafter is a consequence, i.e. what we were saying before, where it's a reflection of our souls and a mirror of the state of our soul. A second point that can be derived from the set of verses is from the last verse that we mentioned, which is وَأَنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَىٰ, that the terminus, that the end of everything, the end as in death, is towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's where we're going. We have an appointment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our appointment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is at death. It's with death that we will reach the closest possible proximity to Him, with our death and the transition from this world to the next. With the separation of our souls from our bodies gives us the ability to be closest to Him. And this is why throughout the Quran, in so many different ways, we see this concept being mentioned. Here, the verse says, إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَىٰ. In other places, it says, إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, as we read in the famous verse, which means that to God we are returning. In other places, it's described as the liqa, or the liqa'ullah, the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we go through the rest of the Quran in these last few days of this blessed month, let's try to take a note of verses like these, and the number of times that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in some way, shape, or form that death is our meeting point with Him, that we're going back to Him, that our destiny is only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's pay attention to the Quranic worldview of death, and let's allow this to permeate our views of our transition to our more permanent life. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.